The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's not another Buffalo podcast. With Pat.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's patron saint of mediocrity, Ryan Tannehill.
John.
The Titans always feel like a glass house to me. For whatever reason, their record is always way better than they look playing games.
Yes.
And Rando.
It smells like shit. It looks like shit.
Yeah, so. No, that's Mike Vrabel, a Stanley Steamer carpet cleaner. Dude, he'll steam over some of the shittiest carpets you've ever seen.
Oh man, the bleep button's gonna be interesting in this one.
It's funny.
On Buffalo Rumblings.
All right, welcome back to Not Another Buffalo Podcast. I'm John. I'm here with my buddies Pat and Brando here on a Monday evening. Can you call this a Victory Monday after a Thursday night win? Does that count?
Yes.
Or, since we already had a Victory Friday, do we get two victory days?
Victory
in 1 week?
Insert day of the week until we lose again. So when we go on these win streaks of 6, 7, 8 games, they're victory days. They turn into victory weeks, then they're victory months. So like we've had victory Decembers before.
Okay. Do you get a victory year after a Super Bowl win then?
Yeah, of course.
By that logic.
Of
victory
course.
Decade, bro. We'll probably never live it down.
Oh my God.
Of course. Yeah. At the parade. This is our year for the full year.
Yeah, we were just talking about the parade actually before we hopped on. We can't get too ahead of ourselves. This is classic us.
I wish that they did it like the hockey trophy Stanley Cup, where every player gets it and they get to take it for a couple days or one day with the cup, whatever it is, because you got 22 guys to do it in a 2 month window. But that would be cool to see with the Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
do they make multiple Lombardies
every year? I think they make a Lombardi.
Well, yeah, obviously there's a different one every year, but like, is there only one each year? Because I feel like I've seen Lombardis on displays in like coaches' cabinets, and like I'm like, is that really the only place that this thing gets displayed, or did like does it just stay with the team? I don't know.
I'll great question. Okay, Vince Lombardi Trophy. Okay, there are not the same number of trophies as there are number of Super Bowl that we are in, because Vince Lombardi was obviously coaching in the first couple of Super Bowls, right? So the trophy was not yet named after him. So there's only 56. Editions of the Lombardi Trophy. Considering all the worth of the trophy itself and the time it takes to produce just one, players do not receive their own Lombardi Trophy. However, they are given a mini replica trophy, which is worth about $1,500.
That's pretty
everything
cool.
You need to know about the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Channel 10 and NBC Philadelphia. How tall is it? Guess. Just guess.
3 feet.
No, less. The Lombardi, it's got to be like 18 inches tops.
You're close. 20.5.
Okay.
Interesting.
This See, I was going, cool from, the, I was going from the bottom tip of the football, Brandon. Come on.
Every inch matters, okay? And guess what? Sports trophies are always something to admire. Olympic gold medals are required to be made out of at least 1.34% of solid gold. The Stanley Cup was made of silver and nickel alloy.
Alloy, yeah.
And the MLB Commissioner's Trophy is sterling silver.
Oof, but bummer. Chiefs games.
Interesting. The Vince Lombardi Trophy is similar in that it is made out of precious metal alloy.
You can't even get like a chemistry makeup on the
sterling
on the
silver.
Just precious. Oh, sterling. Oh, come on.
Yeah, sterling
well,
silver.
It's made, by a jewelry maker, right? We had this conversation last year. It's made by... God, why do I want to say Zales? It's not... it's like the big jewelry company.
Interesting.
Tiffany, I think it's Tiffany & Co. or whatever, makes the Lombardi Trophy.
It was right here. Has been produced in Cumberland, Rhode Island each year Tiffany & Company silversmiths design and produce the accolade. Guess how much it weighs in pounds?
21 pounds.
7.
Oh, it's okay. Pretty light. So Tom Brady's entire just process, a weakling when he's just whipping that thing around.
Yeah, right. The entire process, these are interesting stats, takes 4 months and 72 hours and $50,000 in labor, but the estimated value of the trophy is $10,000. However, many deem the award priceless, the author says.
Yes.
The trophy does float.
Which was proved in Tampa Bay a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah. Tiffany & Co., they designed some of the rings, but not all of the rings. Wow. Team's rings come out to $5 million total for, you know, what is it, 52 rings? Anyways.
Well, but all the coaches get rings and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if the NHL could afford to give that many players rings.
No. Welcome to Not Another Buffalo Podcast Trophy Talk today. Buffalo Rumblings. Did we say that yet? I don't even know.
Yes. Buffalo Rumblings Podcast. You can find us on all platforms at NotBuff Podcast. Anyway, hoping that Josh will be holding that 7-pound piece of metal that's 22 inches long, tip to tip, and made out of solid silver. So, or something.
Metal alloy.
Precious metal alloy. Yeah. So there's multiple metals in there. Anyway.
All these feelings that we feel are all for that 7 pounds, baby.
Yeah.
Well, you know what my ideal weight is. You haven't seen that t-shirt?
No.
No.
My ideal weight is Josh Allen on top of me.
Oh, I saw that at the game. A bunch of people had that t-shirt at the game.
But that is true. I did not see that.
Well, speaking of the game a little bit, I listened to a little bit of you guys post-game talking about it. Were you happy? Excited? It wasn't even that late. The game did go quick.
I don't know. I kind of blacked out. I was so jet lagged for both those episodes. I don't remember what I said. I just like remember listening to it the next day. But okay. I think it went good.
Well, we won the game and the show came out and it sounded good. So you did a good job.
That's good. But that's always good. I like being audited. I know that Pat never listens to the episode. Pat, how many over under Brando right now? Pat, don't tell us. Over under, how many episodes of NABP do you think Pat has listened to?
2.5.
I'll put the over under at 3. 2.5.
I've listened to a decent amount. I've probably listened to like 20 of them over the year.
Okay. Vegas is wrong.
Right. Wow.
Sometimes.
2 years with Rumblings last week. We signed our deal 2 years ago.
Wow.
Amateur status. No more. No more NCAA for us.
If there's some good discourse.
We still get amateur status. But
I'll listen to it back or whatever. But
yeah.
Well, 20 does sound like a lot. But again, like at the where the over-under we set. This is episode 186, so you guys can do the percentages there. Anyway, I'd like to remind everyone that if the Bills lose to the Bengals this week, it won't mean that they can't hoist the Lombardi this year. A little bit farther
away.
But
I do think that,
and I think that this is a tough test. The Bengals are super hot right now, and that matters.
Super
hot fire is what they are, and that's what they look like when they're on the field. Joe Burrow looks unstoppable. Did you see him run? He ran,
yeah,
so efficiently, like a deer through the field, just like whoosh, whoosh, just no calf issues, stepping into the throws. Tyler Boyd, another third receiver going off that I wish we had. You know, we always talk about it. That's a benchmark.
We had it this week. We literally.
I know
had
it was cool.
Week.
We had Khalil Shakir. That's so cool. That's the benchmark I think for our team. If we need to look at how their offense produces, and we need to match it or be better. That's how you should judge the.
But
Buffalo
I mean,
Bills
over
offense.
Under receptions, Khalil Shakir this week 4. I'm gonna say under. I feel like he's not even gonna get the rock that much. I feel like that third receiver spot is something that Ken Dorsey really likes to roll the 12-sided D&D. You know, dice
right.
with, but
right.
I don't know.
But again, with Dawson Knox out still, I don't know what Quentin Morris's status is for this week. You might be forced to run 11 a lot, which honestly, it's like, even if Dawson Knox comes back, why would you go back to 12 personnel if that's what wasn't working for the whole year? You know what I mean? Anyway, it's interesting too, when you start talking about tempo for this game, and tempo was attributed to the Bills' success this past week. They ran more plays. You know, we have this discussion of speeding the game up versus slowing the game down. And McDermott is a classically minded football coach who likes to slow the game down, balance attack, do our thing, not have a lot of possessions. And that's the kind of way, obviously, this has been well documented this past week in conversations, but that's the way that you win games against opponents that you're in, you believe you're inferior to, usually, because less possessions means more opportunity for variability, right? The like the higher number of simulations you do for something, the more accurate it becomes, right? So if you're only having 10 possessions between two teams, you have more opportunity to have a turnover, make a bigger difference, sway the game bigger either way. And
it's like
so
it's like the wild card game in baseball, right? You get the one game sudden death play in, play out, and you see some underdogs win those games, or the 3-game series or the 5-game series. Right. Ultimately, you know, the hockey has a 7-game series, but even they can be random sometimes. But, you know, the true talent is like, you know, NBA. Could you imagine the NFL doing that? Like, you'd have some, you'd have a lot of sweeps, I think.
You know, yeah, a lot of injuries.
Injuries, yeah. But, yeah. No, well, you got to have the sample size, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing, drives versus games. You know, you see less upsets in NBA championships because of that, because you have to win 4 games, not just one, like you said. Yeah. Same thing with drives, you know. Each drive, you know, if you're the better team, the more drives you have, the better you're likely to turn out, obviously. And so I'm interested to see how they approach this game, because not only did that work against the Buccaneers by running up tempo, getting as many possessions in as you can, having an elite success rate in that no huddle offense, is that because they thought that the Buccaneers were inferior and they're like, we're the better team, we want more possessions, they want to slow us down, they want to keep us off the field? How do you approach the Bengals? Because the Bengals have probably the best offense in the NFL at this moment in time out of anybody, not the 49ers, not the Chiefs. Both of those teams lost again this week. You know, do you go up against that team and say, we want to go head to head, we want to have a shootout, or are you going to try to slow them down and then stall yourself out in the process? So I'm kind of nervous that McDermott might slow this team down a little bit and then kind of revert back to what he wants to do, which is run the ball instead of just let Josh Allen cook.
If you are Josh Allen and you're in these meetings and you're getting these play calls and you know better, what's the discussion like? Because it looked like after this game against Tampa Bay on Thursday night that Josh Allen and Ken Dorsey and Sean McDermott all had honest conversations about things that they don't like in the offense and things that they do like with the offense. You can't really control these 4th-and-1s that you didn't go for. Josh Allen, you know, what is he going to revolt on the field? Be like, get the heck off here, Sam Martin. I don't need you.
Tackles Sam Martin coming out of the field.
It's like a basketball player not wanting to come out of a game, you know, or a pitcher on the pitcher's mound trying to get pulled. You can't control these certain things, but
well, I mean, you can't you control see, and I wonder also balling out as well. I mean, like also, that last punt too. Yeah. I mean, it's like right out of, I think it might be Saran Neal's like outstretched arm from being like on the 2-yard line. So got to let Sam coach sometimes apparently, but
well, I agree. And he played well or whatever. You know, I don't want my punter to punt this much ever. And you take those 4th downs and you add a couple points, you know, that's at least they're 4 yards from a field goal try. Why are they losing the confidence in Tyler Bass to kick 55 yarders? Like, give them opportunities to go again. You need these points to punt the ball down, go for it on 4th-and-1. But like you said, if you're Josh Allen and you had Brian Daboll, and Brian Daboll got into arguments with Sean McDermott about the offensive philosophy, Josh Allen has to be able to look at his coach and be like, this is what I can do better. Let me do it. I want to run up tempo. That run play to start the game, I want to know if he checked into it or if he just saw that what the read was, what the defense was in. Because then I was watching it from the last row of the stadium and it was like, you know, you kind of see him looking around. And when they check, they, you know, they put their hands on their head to make sure everybody, they cover their ears, make sure everybody knows they checked. But then he runs, you know, and it's like, oh, I wonder what the call was. What is that dialogue like?
You wonder if that actually came from Dorsey or not. Yeah, I hadn't.
Yeah,
because I just kind of assumed it came from Dorsey, but because if it's a checked play, then that might be like the second play called in the huddle, right?
Or it's just Josh calling his own number, like they did against New England. Remember when he stiff armed Matthew Judon? That wasn't the play call. That was Josh Allen thinking that he could take the ball and beat the defensive end to the pylon, which he did. And we used to see that a lot, and we don't really see that anymore. But it's one of those things. Josh always says he likes to get hit to start a game. I was talking about this today at school. And we're like, Josh Allen needs to run the ball to get focused into the game. Where if he, you know, gets contact early on in that game, that those opening drives, we used to be so good on opening drives. up tempo. And it was perfect. We did it. They were nailing it. And then we got the field goal on the opening drive. But up tempo, Josh takes a couple yard run here or there. He scampers for a first down on a first drive, and you get Diggs involved. And that's the recipe that they should just stick with. And Josh Allen needs to be able to be the adult in the room that says, this works best, coach. I'm sorry that we're not going to slow this game down for you. And if this BS where they play to their opponents, I hate that. That's cocky. You just got to go out and give them your best every single time. And we know that they have the wrinkle in their offense now with the 12 personnel, right? Like they figured it out, but without Knox, now you got to wait for that. So I don't know. Sorry, that's rambled, but it fires me up. Josh Allen needs to tell coach, this is what's working.
Because the other part that I'm nervous about too is like when they're responding, like you said, Brandon, when they're responding to Joe Burrow, you know, they're going to take more chances.
But. Well, if it's different when it's Baker Mayfield, who did look good.
Right.
I mean, my grandma was really funny because she was like, that guy, he doesn't look like Josh Allen. He's a lot smaller than Josh Allen, but he threw that ball up there on the Hail Mary and he gave his guys a chance to catch it. I was like, yes, he did. He slung that ball around pretty good. But why can't we do that against everybody? And it already cost you a game with Mac Jones. Jacksonville, call it whatever you want. They're in the race for the one seed now. So yeah. I don't know, but Pat, we ran an up-pace offense in high school, right? And how was that? That was terrible.
I mean, I think coaching might have been a concern, but, you know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's such a week-to-week thing. And I guess the other thing is, too, I mean, whatever, I'm not super well-versed in a lot of stuff, but I feel like there's a lot of variability depending on what coverages he's facing and stuff. And I have to imagine he still has the green light every time if, like, you know what I mean? He sees a man look and, you know, whatever the receivers have run off, the linebackers or the defensive backs. So maybe, you know, he gets into some looks like that where, you know, he is able to just improvise. So I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Burrow did a lot of that last week too. So.
Oh yeah. Man, take a shot, everybody. The mid podcast, Pat Cap yawn. So obviously there's advantages to running hurry up that you get. That every team gets when they run hurry up. This is why like Chip Kelly was obsessed with hurry up offense, but he wasn't really good at it when he came into the NFL.
If you play Madden and you get right. The defense in the look that you want,
right.
And you're in a 4-3 and you got 11 personnel, you run it every time. Triangle, hold triangle.
Exactly. Hold exactly. Line. Exactly. Tap. You're always tapping triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's you don't want to let the defense substitute. If you don't, obviously if you substitute, you have to let the defense substitute too. So you might get the defense tired. You might get also simpler looks from the defense because they're not going to be able to call complex looks, most likely just, you know, signaling. I got to ask somebody who is smarter than me about when you're running your no huddle offense. I assume that they change their calls week to week, but that's a whole list of stuff that you have to memorize as a team.
But isn't
week.
But isn't that the point of no huddle offense though, as well, as you were saying that like you're getting the defense in simpler looks, but isn't that part of the reason why you would run it as well? So that you yourself have a little bit more of, you know,
simplicity.
Yes.
And John, to your point, I think Josh Allen had a wristband. They talked about this on WGR the other day. It's just like our wristbands, right? It's yellow 7 and Josh has got the play call and you know, they run the route tree. But the part that's complicated, it's like they talk about it with Cole Beasley, why it's been so hard to replace him, because he runs all the option routes, just like Travis Kelce does, just like Wes Welker used to do. But it's like right. You see the defense in this. And I mean, they were talking about it the other day on the Travis Kelce podcast. So like, you know, I don't even really run the route ever that I'm supposed to have. Travis Kelce was saying these things. And so he knows where everybody's supposed to be. So he makes his design based on that. And it's super complicated of an offense to run. And it looked like that's what Dorsey was trying to do. And you saw Diggs make a mistake, which led to him slamming his iPad on the ground and stuff like that. It's like, I went the wrong way. I used the wrong leverage. You know, this super complicated stuff. But you look down and you're like, okay, I'm running a wheel route. Go.
Right.
Let's just make it happen.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess my only concern about that too was like, I don't know how easy it is throughout a game for a defense to pick up on those calls. Also, when you're audible, I guess it's not the same. True. Running hurry up isn't the same as audibling, right? Because when you're audibling, you have like, you probably have like a 2-word phrase, like, you know, when Josh is yelling Taylor Swift or RJ Smith, whichever one you think it was. This is the whole dress is blue versus gold all over again. By the way, it was gold. No debate. I think it actually turned out to be blue, but
I never
saw the blue ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, Taylor Swift versus RJ Smith.
Versus
so, LeBron like, James. When you have a simple call like that, you know, it's like it stands for something like run right or something like that, you know, off tackle. He has very simple play call. So, I guess they're not doing that every time if he's got a wristband. None of the other people have wristbands?
Well, that was the debate. They thought that in previous games, Josh had not worn a wristband.
Right.
But
well, I'm talking about other players too, because Josh can know the play and then he has to
check. Right.
He has to call it right to
question.
His team, but not in a huddle. So he can't just be like, he can't do the full extended play call, you know, our left seven YX, you know, this yada, yada, yada in front of the defense right. because they would know what the play was.
It looks like in the season opener, he had long sleeves on. I mean, it looks like there's a wristband underneath his long sleeves, but it's not out. Like it's definitely...
I didn't think the wristband was new. Like, I mean, I could be wrong, but when somebody did point that out, I was like, I thought he always had a wristband.
I feel like if you're a quarterback, you have to have one now. But with all the checks and everything, you have to. There's too much information to know.
Yeah, NFL quarterbacks have always had wristbands like for years, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who thought of that? They're genius. You know, it's like 1970. And Terry Bradshaw's like,
Terry Bradshaw,
an easier way to do this.
Sorry, I didn't mean to scream into the microphone, but Terry Bradshaw's not reading. He's not reading a wristband. Come on now.
Well, it's like he at the end of his career, he's like, oh, I need an easier way to do this. So I'm just going to chuck it.
And then in the 80s, the big development was laminator. So you could use wristband in weather games as well. Yeah. So that was a huge development during that decade. But
what a time to be alive.
What a time. What a time.
You know what? I bet people in that decade said some things. Just like they say some things in this decade.
Oh. Nice little preview. We're going to get a break in here real quick. We'll be back with some quotes of Pat. Stick around.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Guess what, Bills fans? It's time for Quotes with Pat. Unfortunately, the guys at Not Another Buffalo podcast are either too lazy or too cheap to hire someone to record their stupid intros, so they decided to use me. To be honest, this constitutes labor without pay and raises some serious ethical questions. Anyway, here's some f***ing quotes. See if you can guess who said it.
All right. Quote number one. This is someone in response to scoring 31 points in a victory on Sunday. A win's a win, but we need to put more points on the board. We were punting the ball a lot today, and we didn't do that last week.
See,
Jalen Hurts or Nick Sirianni?
I was going to say Cincinnati. No, the Phillies scored more than 31
34?
Points.
34? They get to 34.
I think it was 38, actually. I'm trying to think. Did the Bengals score 31 because their game was 31-17 or something, right?
Yeah, they
Same
did.
Same conference. That,
it could also be the Ravens. It could be John Harbaugh.
Close.
Lamar?
Yes. Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. You swear to God this man lost the game the way he was talking in the post-game conference, but...
That's funny.
That's funny.
All right. I got,
Jinx.
I got one more for you. I mean, this is a dream come true, but what time is it right now? 3:48? Oh, well, I have 12 more minutes to celebrate before it's on to insert blank opponent name.
Let's see. Is this a Carolina Panther? No, because they just won their first game of the year this past weekend.
You know who this is? disciple of Billy B, Stanley Steamer carpet cleaner.
Oh, is this Mike Vrabel?
Not exactly.
Ryan Tanney? Derrick Henry?
Who plays?
No, Will Levis?
Will Levis,
Will
yeah.
Levis.
Okay. Nice.
Hey, Brando. Okay. Brando, I want to talk about this.
I don't want to talk about Will Levis.
Why don't you want to? What's wrong with Will
Levis?
Okay,
I went to one training camp practice and watched Will Levis throw versus Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. I said, Tanny looks like Tanny. Malik Willis looks like he's never going to be an NFL QB ever. And Will Levis is going to be starting at some point this year, whether it's for injuries or for merit. And he looked good at practice. And I know that doesn't always translate, you know, when you're playing 7-on-7 in practice, but he looked sharp. And so anyway, that ended up being the
DeAndre
case.
DeAndre Hopkins
as well.
Is thanking his lucky stars.
Yeah, bro.
Man.
Three tutties.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to see what he can do. And Tanny has done. Tanny's done in the trash.
Well, Tanny's just.
But yeah, Johnny did call that.
I'm from exceptional.
Also, those Oilers uniforms look pretty sharp. I'm not going to lie. Those are some of the better. The throwbacks in the NFL are pretty good this year. You know, throwbacks in the NFL used to be the Bills had the great standing Buffalo. The Steelers had those ugly ass bumblebee uniforms. Those were terrible. The Browns throwbacks were terrible too. The Packers throwbacks look terrible. They're navy blue and gold. But this year, it's the Eagles throwbacks, the Kelly Green, love those. Let's see who else. Who else
creamsicle
has throwbacks
jerseys
on?
I love sick.
The creamsicles. Yeah, those are cool. Those are so ugly that they are cool. Yeah. The Falcons throwbacks, the red helmets, those are sick. I love those too.
I know we talk about it, but I like the Lions and the powder blue. They do that,
yes.
I think, right?
Yeah, those are pretty good too. The Giants throwbacks are sweet too. They have the navy blue helmet. That looks pretty good as well. I mean, that's the authentic 90s look, so. Red helmets for the Bills next year. What line could I get on that, Brando?
Plus
would you put it negative odds for next year having the red helmet? No.
No.
They'll just get. It's one of those things. It's they'll just eke it out little bit by little bit, like the lost recordings of Kurt Cobain that they've had for 30 years that they just keep dropping one song or 30-second clip. You know.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say, Brando?
Sabres goat head. They tease us for 13 years with that. And then you think
about... But the Sabres goat head is only 10 years old. It's only
been... Well, they stopped
it a little bit.
They did it from...
Seven.
They stopped...
No,
06.
05.
05, 06 is the last 05. Year they did it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Sorry.
That's almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years. Yeah.
But when you look at the red helmet, maybe they do it when the new stadium opens.
True.
Or you get something monumentous. Or they win the Super Bowl and they're going to celebrate it.
Are we getting a standing Buffalo game this year? Because we didn't get one last year.
That's a good question.
What do you mean?
What are they going to do for Sunday Night Football this week?
I haven't heard anybody talking about it. You know the standing Buffalo throwbacks, Pat?
They usually wear those at least. The Jack Kemp ones. Yeah. I honestly don't even like those jerseys a lot, though, man. I feel like they're kind of beat to death at this point. And just all the bad teams, Stevie Johnson having one good game wearing those uniforms, you know, but...
I do they haven't done it. They usually do white on white on white when they do them in the past few years. I don't think we've gotten the throwbacks since we've gotten rid of the gray face masks, have we?
That's a good question.
They still had gray face masks probably the last time they did that. But anyway, I'm not sure.
What's the Bengals home uniform? It's
the blacks.
Could they go all white and we go all blue Sunday night? Or are they going to go orange and black? What are they going to go?
I don't know. It's kind of cool. They have two solid uniform colors.
They do.
They have the black uniforms, which you can do. You have unlimited combos here, and you have orange uniforms too.
That's true.
So it's the Bills have the reds, I guess you could say, but I'm not a huge, huge fan.
Let us know what you want the Bills to wear on Sunday Night Football.
Oh God. Since it's an away game, you always get the possibility of the white on blues. Which
I don't
is
mind
the worst
though.
Bills uniform condo.
I like the white on blues. Yeah, I think of the Houston.
I like the blue on whites. I like the blue on whites, but the white on blues, the white jerseys, blue pants. Think about all the iconic Bills losses that have happened in those uniforms.
I mean, true, yes. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, I digress.
We want to talk about Bills wins.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Lots of those going forward. They've been wearing white on white away recently too. That's the reason why I don't like the white on blues, because the white on white looks far superior to the white on blues.
Yes.
But that's just my humble opinion. I love the Stormtrooper unis.
Well, I'm happy you boys are so fashion forward here on the podcast today.
Don't get it twisted. Pat is the most fashion forward out of any of us. Like Pat, Brandon and I are lucky if we can roll out of bed in good athleisure stuff. So Pat's got some actual swag. So anyway, Pat, thanks for hopping on with us. We're going to do our game picks on Wednesday. So Pat, probably going to mail in the picks this week or do a voice memo for us so we can have you on with us in spirit. But we'll be back on Wednesday. You guys know where to find us on Twitter and all platforms at Not Buff Podcast. Let's see. Enjoy the trade deadline. Hopefully something happens here. This is Monday night, obviously.
Over under carries Leonard Fournette. 3-0.
Over 0.5 under.
At least for this week. Practice squad. Next week, 2.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. But hopefully hopefully no more injuries in the running back room because I think that Ty Johnson's still probably better than Leonard Fournette or the ghost of Leonard Fournette. It looked kind of rough last year. Anyway,
it is spooky season. Happy Halloween.
It's true. Happy Halloween, everybody. All right, we'll Halloween. Be back on Friday. And until then, go Bills.
Go Bills.